This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 31st. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll hear about a tap dance festival in Chicago, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. State regulators voted yesterday to give Illinois American Water much, but not all of the rate increase it requested for the Champaign-Urbana area. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The Illinois Commerce Commission voted to shave $9 million off the $26 million in revenue hikes sought by Illinois American Water for its markets around the state. In Champaign County, that amounts to a 47% rate increase for customers instead of the nearly 60% sought by the company. Champaign District Operations Manager Barry Suits says he understands that the increase is significant for customers in Champaign-Urbana and surrounding communities. But he says water remains one of the lower-priced utilities.
In the end, it results in an increase of about 39 cents per day on the average residential customer's water bill. And that covers the cost of a new treatment plant and investment in our system that we know is needed now and important to continue to provide quality service to our customers.
However, Suits says the rate increase falls about $9 million short of covering the entire $51 million cost of the new water treatment plant being built west of Champaign. He says Illinois American expects to seek an additional rate increase to pay for the rest of the plant, possibly within 5 years. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
In a separate ruling, the ICC told Illinois American to get to work on updating data on the demand for service in each market it serves, as well as the cost of service. The commission asked for the update after the last rate request in 2002, but the company has only reported on its Sterling district. The ICC wants the information so it can keep tabs on how Illinois American Water allocates costs to its various categories of customers. An overnight shooting has claimed the life of a Champaign man. City police have yet to release any information regarding the homicide, but the Champaign County Coroner's Office says 28-year-old Gregory Moore died at 11:30 last night at Carroll Hospital. No other details are being released at this time. The coroner says an autopsy will be performed. A central Illinois agency that treats victims of substance abuse will lose more than $900,000 as a result of state budget reductions. Prairie Center Health Systems will be forced to lay off 21 employees, or nearly 30% of its staff, and eliminate its detox unit, which provides medical monitoring for those removed from a crisis situation. The fiscal cuts will take effect tomorrow. Bruce Swardini is Prairie Center's CEO.
If ever nationally or within our state believe that we have a substance abuse problem, they'll know about it now. This mass of impact, the mass is going to be created by Friday.
Swardini says he remains hopeful that legislators will return to Springfield to restore the funds. Urbana State Representative Naomi Jacobson says it will be at least this fall before that happens. She says legislators should steer clear of a gaming package to fund drug treatment and mental health programs.
I will continue to work to see what we can do to change our tax structure. What we've been talking about would not raise income taxes for the low or the middle income people of Illinois. And we need to get away from the flat tax.
Champaign Senator Mike Frericks agrees it will be at least November before lawmakers can restore the cuts. He suggests legislators use better fiscal discipline and funding of pension obligation bonds to raise revenue. Swardini says these cuts are the worst he's seen in his 20 years of caring for drug and alcohol addicts. The Urbana School District plans a fight as it faces at least one lawsuit stemming from a former teacher's child molestation conviction. District 116 officials have been quiet since the attorney for a one-time student of John White's filed suit against White, the district, several current and former teachers and administrators, and another former employer, the Normal School District. White pleaded guilty to sexually abusing 10 first and second grade girls in his classrooms in Urbana and Normal. Yesterday, District 116 issued a brief statement saying it plans to vigorously defend itself, but it referred further comments to the district's attorney, who has not returned phone calls. Illinois basketball player Jamar Smith has made his first appearance in court since he was accused of violating the terms of his probation. We get more from AM 580's Tom Rogers.
In yesterday's brief court hearing, Judge Richard Klaus scheduled a revocation hearing date for September 17th. Prosecutors had filed a motion to take away Smith's probation after police reported Smith's presence outside a campus town bar last weekend. In court, Judge Klaus said the report included an admission from Smith that he drank three beers before an incident where Smith was part of a group that confronted police. Smith has been serving 2 years probation for drunk driving after a crash that injured then-teammate Brian Carlwell. Head coach Bruce Weber said this week he's disappointed that Smith put himself in a compromising position. The school says it's taking the situation very seriously but has not commented on Smith's future with the team. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Governor Rod Blagojevich is slated to meet again with Illinois' top lawmakers to discuss a possible compromise on a massive statewide construction program. The governor has been touting a $34 billion program to rebuild roads, bridges, schools, and more. Supporters say it also would allow Illinois to capture about $9 billion in federal matching funds. Earlier this week, Blagojevich invited the lawmakers to meet with him in his Chicago office, and the governor's office has indicated there's room for compromise when the meeting takes place later in the day. Blagojevich spokesman Lucio Guerrero has said that that includes reducing the size of the proposed construction program. He says there's also talk of possibly taking some gambling components off the table. A leading structural engineer says he's alarmed that only a few of the busiest bridges in Illinois with structural deficiencies have been fixed since a deadly bridge collapse in Minneapolis a year ago. An Associated Press review of the repair work on the state's 20 most traveled and troubled bridges found only six had undergone any repairs during the past year. No work's been done on the state's most used problem bridges, including the busiest, the Stewart Avenue elevated section of Interstate 90-94 in Chicago. The past president of the Illinois Society of Professional Engineers, John Fraunhofer, calls the situation, quote, scary. He says while insufficient funds is part of the problem, that also provides an easy excuse for inaction. Rolling flooding affected communities along the Illinois and Mississippi rivers and reached from the southeastern part of the state to the north. Amanda Vinicky looks at how much assistance those areas are getting as they try to recover.
22 Illinois counties had already been declared federal disaster areas due to the devastating flooding. Now a 23rd has been added to that list, Greene County. That declaration allows local governments to recoup between 75 and 90% of the cost of flood fighting, cleanup, and repairs. Illinois Emergency Management Agency spokeswoman Patty Thompson says more assistance is needed.
Well, it became more obvious once the water started going down and we started seeing the real extent of this, that the expenses are going to be so much greater that even the 25% or the 10% that they might have to incur is still going to be a heavy burden on many of these communities.
Thompson says Illinois' governor, as well as those from Indiana, Iowa, and Missouri, asked the president to increase the reimbursement rate in cases up to 100%. They're still waiting on a decision. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. A 300-year-old art form is making an appearance in Chicago. Hundreds of people are here from around the world to take tap classes as part of the Chicago Human Rhythm Project's summer festival called Rhythm Whirl. It's billed as the oldest and largest tap dance festival in North America. Some of the participants spent a recent evening trying to outdo each other in front of a live audience. Lynette Kalsness has this report.
Danny Aiken is a summer intern with the Rhythm Project, but he's also a contestant in a tap improv show that's just about to start. So he's practicing his steps while going over last-minute details on a clipboard.
Describe what footwear you're tapping in.
I'm tapping in a pair of flip-flops.
Of course, he'll change into tap shoes for the cutting contest. It starts with 17 people. They face off two at a time. The first contestant taps out a measure of music and the other dancer responds. They go back and forth, showing off their footwork and stealing each other's moves. It's the tap equivalent of take that or top this. That was the William Tell Overture.
Your phrasing is just completely musical. I mean, you can sing a melody with your tap. you can say a sentence with your tap. I mean, if you're listening, you can hear it all. It's in there.
Noted performer and choreographer Jason Samuel Smith says tap is a great form to have a battle in. Tonight, he's a judge.
It's about, you know, people just stretching themselves, seeing how far they can take the art form and seeing how good they can be in that moment. And, you know, you live to dance another day if you lose.
Samuel Smith is looking for creativity and a crisp sound. Contests like this have been going on nearly as long as tap itself.
The history of tap really is almost as old as the United States.
That's Lane Alexander, who founded the Chicago Human Rhythm Project. He says tap dates back to the days of slavery. So many people died in the holds of ships, sea captains started bringing slaves up for fresh air and exercise. They do African dances on deck. Irish sailors who'd been pressed into service would respond with their own dances.
And it may have been a moment like that when African and Irish culture first saw each other. And that was the beginning of the process that's gone on for the last 300 years, really, of creating a new American art form of tap dance.
That old art form is appealing to a new generation. All the contestants at the cutting contest are men and women in their teens and 20s, like Matthew Shields from Texas.
There's like a challenge there to one up the other dancers. You have to be quick on your toes, and it's a learning experience. You know, you grow after you do something like this.
He started tapping as a kid when he got dragged to his sister's dance classes. The leaders put all the boys in a room with some tap shoes and promised them pizza. Shields was hooked.
I really liked the communication through your mind into the floor. I mean, there's a whole body connection there. It has to go from all the way to the top, all the way to the bottom, and then out.
He dances his way back to the auditorium with minutes to go. He doesn't know it yet, but Tristan Bruins from the South Loop will be his first opponent.
Right now, like, my head feels like it's full of helium, and my heart's thumping in my chest, and my stomach's a little queasy, and I'm really afraid, but it's so much fun. I mean, this is what people write books about, like this feeling. This is the feeling people write songs about, to get up in front of people and just kind of come up with whatever's in your head. You know, you can really express yourself.
Minutes later, Bruins comes up against Shields. Jason Samuel Smith gives them a waltz tempo.
One, two, three, two.
They both struggle. Samuel Smith starts them over again. Shields is the first dancer who crosses the stage and gets into his opponent's space. He wins this round, but eventually gets beaten by a young Brazilian.
May the best dancer win. Here we go. One, two, three, four.
In the end, it's the young woman from Tokyo with excellent timing and rhythm, who's not quite so flashy, who wins. Ryona Otsuka gets $100 and bragging rights. I'm Lynette Kalsnes, Chicago Public Radio.
And the forecast for today: areas of dense fog early this morning, otherwise mostly sunny with highs around 88 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 68 degrees. Mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 85. Mostly clear skies tomorrow night, the low around 68. Sunny skies Saturday, we have a high in the lower 90s. And looking ahead to Saturday evening, mostly clear skies, lows around 70. Mostly sunny, the high around 95 on Sunday with heat index readings between 95 to 100 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily This has been the AM 580 News Daily podcast for Thursday, July 31st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.